Hi, I'm Tom Bradley, president of Steady Hand Investment Funds. I'm here today in Toronto with Christine Montgomery. Christine is a key member of the investment team at Edinburgh Partners and is the manager of our Global Equity Fund. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you here. And on this Steady Hand podcast, we're going to do a few things. We're going to build on an interview we did with Sandy Nairn, the founder of Edinburgh Partners, that you can find on our website. We'll quickly review the investment philosophy of Edinburgh Partners. Christine will take us through just a few of the ups and downs in the short history we've had with the Global Equity Fund. But more importantly, we'll talk about how the fund is positioned going forward. Now, Christine, some of our members might call us stubborn, but this is the second podcast we've had on this fund, even though this type of fund has really been the scourge of the Canadian investors, with the Canadian dollar having been so strong. But in our view, an update at this time is timely, given the dollar has been so strong, and probably a pretty good time to use some of those powerful loonies to buy some good foreign investments. But before we get into that, Christine, maybe you could just give us a little feel for your background in the business.
Thanks, Tom. Well, I started in investment in 1989, which seems a very long time ago. I started working at Aegon at that time on the equity team as an analyst, and then moved through that team through to managing money to actually working on the fixed income side. So I actually ran some bond funds for a while and then saw the error of my ways, moved back to the world of equity. And after 11 years there, got the opportunity to move to Templeton. I found that with Aegon, and it's not a kind of criticism of Aegon, it's what happens with big firms. As you get more experienced, you move further and further away from stock picking and from doing research. And the move to Templeton gave me the chance to go back and pick stocks. So it was just too good an opportunity to pass. And I stayed there for 5 years. When I left, I was running just over $4 billion for separate account clients and was doing research on the insurance sector. And moving into Edinburgh Partners, I'm not running anything like that much money now, but hope to be over the next few years, hopefully. But I'm still doing research on the insurance sector, so I haven't lost that problem sector.
Now, Christine, Templeton's a fine company. Sandy and I talked about it on the other podcast. You know, what's different or why the move to Edinburgh Partners, I guess, and maybe you could characterize how it's going to be different for you going forward.
I think really there were more pull factors than push factors. I was very happy working at Templeton, still enjoyed going into work every day, which is always a good sign. But the opportunity to work firstly with Sandy was something I really had been looking to do at some stage. I'd known about him and known him for quite some time, and the opportunity to work with someone who's as intellectually challenging as Sandy, both when it comes to stock picking but also to just day-to-day talking about the markets, was just too good an opportunity to miss. I really looked forward to the idea of working on a small team based in one location, and I think that's one of the challenges of working for a global company, is how to make it work across a number of time zones and a number of offices. So having everybody together was really quite a big plus factor as well. And then just actually having some ownership in the firm. The firm's 75% owned by the partners. There are 10 investment partners, a couple of client service partners, and then some people who kind of make the company work on our finance, legal, and operations side. So there's a small number of people own the firm. It's easier to manage what's going on when you've got that control.
I know Sandy covered it, but maybe just briefly, Christine, you could review the investment philosophy of Edinburgh Partners and how you approach global investing.
Well, the short answer is we're long-term investors. We believe there's a really strong relationship between long-term earnings and share price performance. And so we invest over a five-year time horizon. And what that means is that analysts at Edinburgh Partners have to forecast earnings for the next 5 years for the companies we follow. So that means right now we're forecasting what's going to be happening in 2011, 2012. So the job of the analyst is absolutely key, and it's kind of very much informed how the company's been structured. If you live or die by your forecasts, you want your most experienced, most senior people doing that. and that goes for CEO Sandy through to me. Everyone is really focused on getting those 5-year earnings forecasts right, because otherwise we won't pick the right stocks. In terms of how we run money, we run global equity. It's unconstrained. We don't believe we'll make a lot of money for our clients by tracking the index. So we're pretty agnostic as to where a company is in terms of which sector it's in or which country it's in, just so long as it offers good value on that 5-year horizon. We also believe we'll make more money for our clients if we run concentrated portfolios, so run with our best ideas. And so the global portfolios will have 30 to 40 stocks in them. And that way we don't end up with a tail of low conviction ideas in the portfolio. So that's pretty much what we believe, what the portfolios look like. And the anomaly we're really exploiting is time horizon. It's human nature to go for the quick win and avoid as much pain as possible. And certainly as a value manager, you have to have a little bit of discipline and sit through the pain sometimes, because you're quite naturally sitting in contrarian positions for quite a lot of the time, both when you're buying and when you're selling.
So I guess you have clients like us saying, why do you own that stock? And clients asking us, why do they own that stock? Christine, the history of our fund is very short. You really took over on May 1st, managing it for us, May 1st, 2007. But give us some flavor of how it's done. It's been a tough context, obviously, in Canada for global funds. But just a brief feel for how it's gone so far.
Well, it's certainly been an interesting year from the point of view of the Canadian currency. Just had a spectacular run, one of the best currencies in the world. So with hindsight, it would have been great if I'd been invested 100% in Canada, wouldn't it? and on the currency, we believe that really over the long run, these things will work out. You've definitely had a bit of a bubble, but it's probably gone too far now, and we'll start to see some sort of pullback towards more normal levels. In terms of the stocks and the portfolio, it has been a really difficult year, because we do feel we're coming up to a bit of a turning point in the economic cycle. So we've had a lot of momentum in the markets, and that's when we really do struggle, because we stick to our valuation discipline. The couple of areas where the performance has been a bit of a drag, things that we don't own, emerging markets and the resource stocks, because no matter how often we look at them, we really just can't find value in the stocks. And we do keep going back and keep sifting through the names, but the valuations really are not working yet. The other area where we've had a bit of a drag has been in stocks we've owned which have underperformed. And they've mostly been in the banking financial area. And that's where we continue to have some exposure to a number of names. Banks now are really amongst the cheapest stocks in the market. And the question for us really is, on the banks, what is the 5-year earnings outlook like? And we are now factoring in really pessimistic views on the downside. We're looking at quite significant write-offs. We're looking at some cases at dividend cuts or equity issuance, and these banks are still looking very, very cheap. So in terms of how the portfolio looks, we're holding these positions, but they are smaller than we expect them to be maybe in a year or two when the outlook is more certain.
Now, you've talked about the banks, Christine. I wonder, I know there's a couple of other themes that you guys are certainly pursuing. Maybe we can talk about that. Telecom, for sure, is something that you're focused on.
Yes, I mean, there's two areas where we've been finding quite a few names recently. Telecom's one. Are one of the biggest positions in the portfolio is in Vodafone, which is a share that we've had for quite some time in our global portfolios. It's a company which has really been transforming itself from a very kind of stodgy, slow, developed market telecom player into much more of an emerging market player. So it's been selling off its underperforming units, such as the business in Japan, and investing the proceeds from that into faster growing markets, such as the African market, the Indian market. And really, we're beginning to see that coming through now in the results. They've just reported some numbers this week, which confirm the emerging markets is really beginning to feed through into the earnings numbers. And interestingly, also on the mobile side, they're beginning to see some good growth coming through in data, which is offsetting the declines on the voice side. So, you know, it's a good growth story. The other thing we like about the telecoms sector and this stock in particular is the cash generation. Very, very strong cash flow now, and that will come through to shareholders, whether in buybacks or in dividends. And so, you know, the story in Vodafone is a story that we see across the sector. We have holdings in Telesonera, in Belgacom and KPN, and it's pretty much the same story of an incumbent fixed line provider with some quite interesting growth opportunities, but very strong cash flow.
Another sector that's had a tough go in recent years is healthcare. Christine, and I know you've been just recently adding to some stocks in that sector.
Yes, we've just recently just bought a position in Roche. There's some big themes in the pharmaceutical sector which have really beaten up the stocks. There's concern about the political outlook and just how the US election plays next year, and I'm sure that will generate some negative news flow over the next 12 months. And the other big concern in the sector has been just how generic competition will undermine the profitability of these companies. But on the plus side, what we see are companies which have very strong balance sheets, strong cash flow, and really strong pipelines if you are prepared to look out to 2010, 2011. So whether it's a GlaxoSmithKline or a Sanofi Aventis, Novartis, or now Roche, we really think the European companies are undervalued and we're getting the pipelines for free. So we expect that as the next 12 months plays out and people can get through the immediate concerns of the election and start looking at the pipeline issues, we should see some performance from these stocks.
Maybe in conclusion, Christine, I know you guys are fanatical about valuation and your discipline around that. It's one of the things that attracted us to you. How does the valuation on our Steady Hand Global Equity portfolio look at this point? And I know you turn that over and sort of project what returns might be going forward.
Well, we are fanatical about valuation because we think that we'll make money for our clients if we buy cheap stocks, and we'll lose money for our clients if we buy expensive stocks. So, you know, we spend a lot of time on our earnings forecasts and then looking at how that's going to translate through into valuations and expected returns. And what we do is to aggregate the valuations from the stocks in the portfolio to give you a feel for what's happening for the portfolio overall. At the moment, our year 5 PE for the portfolio is around about 10 times, and that's really crept up over the last 6 months, and that would lead us to expect a return over the next 5 years of around about 7.8% per annum. If only it happened so easily that we could get 7.8% every year, but that's the expected return on average over the 5 years. When we compare that with the study we've done and the expected returns from the market, we would expect historically a return of something around about 6% real from the market. So what that's saying at the moment is the portfolio should give us around about 1.82% over market returns. I think the thing that's going to be interesting is just what the real returns turn out to be for the market. It would be quite an achievement to get 6% real for the next few years. When things have been so good for the past few years, it looks like we're in for a lower return period. So we expect 2-3% over market, but certainly some bumps along the way.
Well, Christine, before I let you go, we want to... this is a tradition that Scott Ronalds in our shop has got started, and just to give our listeners a flavor for who Christine Montgomery is. So I'm going to give you some short snappers here, and you just give us your first thought of whatever comes to mind. First one, years of investment experience.
Too many. So that would be coming up for 20.
The Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin?
Oh, it's got to be Led Zeppelin.
Best book written on investing?
Oh, best recent read, Fooled by Randomness.
Best place in Europe to travel for business?
Oh, that's so easy. Monte Carlo for the insurance rendezvous. It's not so bad being an insurance analyst after all.
investment professional you respect the most?
Sir John Templeton. That's easy.
Best restaurant in Edinburgh?
Oh, that's difficult. Martin Wishart.
Most intriguing CEO you've ever met?
That's even more difficult. Gosh, I think it's got to be someone like... I think someone like Anita Roddick, actually. Not a great CEO if you were a shareholder, but someone who is very passionate about their business.
Now, that's what company?
That was with Body Shop in the UK, a retail company.
Just a few more. St. Andrews or Carnoustie?
Ooh, as a golfing widow, I guess I prefer St. Andrews if I'm going to be stranded for a few hours.
Typical holding period for a stock?
Should be 5 years, but it's been a little bit shorter. It's more like 3 years.
First stock you ever bought?
Ooh, I think it was British Aerospace.
Burberry or Gucci?
Oh, it's got to be Gucci.
Your alma mater?
University of Edinburgh.
Scotland's greatest export?
Oh, wow. Sean Connery?
I'll get in trouble.
That's what my wife would say as well. Well, Christine, we'll let you off the hook. That's enough short snappers for today. But thanks very much for coming in and speaking with us and enlightening our clients some more on the Global Equity Fund. To our listeners, please feel free to listen to our other podcasts and videocasts on our site. And we'll be coming to you with other new versions very shortly. Thank you.